Lord, everybody. Amen. I appreciate your sacrifice of praise today offered unto the Lord. Thank you, choir, for your burden of worship. Amen. We are almost to the place that we are ready to hear from the Lord. We're not that far away. Amen. I believe we can get there in the next few minutes. Amen. Let's make another good push in worship. Would you lift up your voice and open up your heart? Oh, hallelujah. God, we know you have something very special for us today. We know that you have something special for us in this place. God, we're hungry, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. We're hungry for your word and your will. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, somebody, stretch your faith out right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, that's it. Let's be the church. God's calling us right now. In the name of Jesus. We glorify your mighty name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Please, with your Bibles, turn with me. Nehemiah, fourth chapter, along with Brother Short. Welcome to everyone here today. Amen. I want to emphasize his words. We really love to see people come to Tulsa Lighthouse Church. And we really love even more to see you come back. Amen. But not near as much as the Lord likes to see it. Amen. God is in the business of increasing his kingdom. His word still declares of the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end. Amen. No end of the increase of his government. Amen. When a government increases, its influence is expanded. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. It's the will of God. It's the purpose of God. It's the plan of God for God to have more authority and more authority and more influence and more significance. The kingdom, the government of God. That's the will of God in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's never the will of God for his kingdom to have less influence. It's always the will of God for his kingdom to have more influence. The increase of his government. And everyone said in Jesus' name. Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, familiar to many of us. I want to read the first two verses as our text today. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall. Amen. Somebody say we were having revival. He was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. Anybody ever felt like you were a target of spiritual intimidation and interrogation? Sanballat spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? These are questions that demand answers. Amen. We know the answers to these questions. Amen. They will fortify themselves. They will arrive to that place of fortification. Amen. That place of safety and defense of the things of God. Amen. The walls are not just to keep what's out of the city out, but it's to protect what's in the city. And there was a newly constructed temple in the city. Amen. There was something that was worth defending in the city again. They will fortify themselves. Will they sacrifice? Will they offer worship? Will they use this temple? Will they be able to enjoy the benefits of their labor? Yes, they will. They will sacrifice. Will they make an end in a day? Will they ever accomplish what they set forth to do? Will they revive the stones? Amen. Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Amen. Mm-mm-mm. Amen. Yes, they will. They most certainly will. They most definitely will have revival. Amen. I want to preach my heart today from this subject, revival out of the rubbish. Amen. Would you lift up your voices as you lift your hands again? Open your hearts to the word of the Lord today. I believe you today, God. I believe you today, Jesus. We're listening. God, I thank you for giving us the grace and the anointing that we need in this place today, God. Oh, give us grace to mind your spirit. Give us grace today, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord bless you. You may be seated. We are, for the most part, very familiar with the story, out of which we have read two verses of scripture as our text today. The story of Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. Perhaps we are not as familiar with the setting of the story. I want to take a few moments here and help us appreciate what we know. There were those when captivity became reality, when the enemy came and took the people of God captive. Not everybody was taken. There were those that were left behind to occupy the cities that were now under the government and the control of enemy forces and powers. And so there were those in this scenario and situation that had been left behind to occupy a city whose temple had been torn down and whose walls had been burned and destroyed. These were people that had to learn a new way of living. Hear me today. People that were content with just living out an existence not harassed by their adversary. If the enemy leaves us alone today, it's a good day, because we're without defense. We're vulnerable. And so I'm just living today to survive. I don't want to stir up my adversary, because I don't have the power that's necessary to overcome. Living a life without a place of worship. Living a life without defense. I know this was a physical situation, but you understand it very much has spiritual parallels. Living in an existence without a real connection with God is not a real life. You can't call that living. You have to admit that's just existing. Amen. Within a life, existing in a world with no real connection with God. Living, existing in a life that I have no defense against my adversary. If the adversary wants to come and harass me, there's nothing I can do about it. And so I'm living with my head down. I'm living with my lips sealed. I'm living in obedience to my adversary. Hallelujah. This sounds so strange to many of us. As Americans, thank God for freedom and liberty physically. Amen, amen. There was a time not all that long before the days of Nehemiah when the people of Jerusalem, those again that had been left behind, were given opportunity by God to experience a degree of revival in rebuilding the temple, and they made a good start. Bible speaks in Ezra 3 and verse 12. Many of the priests, the Levites, and chief of the fathers that were ancient men that had seen the first house, they remembered the other temple. They had been there before the temple had been destroyed. When the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted for joy. Amen. There were those that couldn't really appreciate what they had been given the opportunity to experience. Amen. Some would say the elders and the ancient men were weeping because this wasn't as glorious, as grandiose as the previous temple. Maybe that was the case. Maybe they were weeping because they knew, amen, weeping tears of appreciation, because this is an opportunity for the glory to return. I know what this represents. Amen. There was a generation that had grown up without a temple. They didn't really have an understanding. All they heard was stories. But there were some ancient men that knew this is the place where God comes down. This is the place where fire from heaven falls. This is the place where sin is judged and victory from heaven is experienced. Can you shout hallelujah? Hallelujah. Amen. Their adversaries got word to Artaxerxes, the king of Persia. Amen. We read in Ezra chapter 4 that the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. Let me pause here and remind you of something that you know full well, that anytime you try to make progress with God, you're going to have some pushback. Anytime you set out to have revival, you're going to stir up your adversary. Amen. And this is what we read. Verse 5 of Ezra 4, they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. And in the reign, amen, of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the adversary knew full well. Now you listen with both ears right now. This is what they wrote about the inhabitants. This is what they wrote about temple builders. This is what they wrote about those that were laying a foundation for worship and sacrifice. Be it known unto the king that the Jews which came up from thee to us are come to Jerusalem building. Notice, now this is the voice of the adversary. Building the rebellious and the bad city, and have set up the walls thereof and joined the foundations. Be it known now unto the king that if this city be builded and the walls set up again, then they will not pay toll, tribute, and custom. And so thou shalt in damage the revenue of the king. Now let that sink in. Oh king, oh adversarial king, oh enemy king, king ruling over the nation in control that has the people of God in bondage and under your thumb. If you let this happen and you let this temple get rebuilt and these walls reconstructed, hey, I just want you to understand what this means. They won't be paying taxes to you. Amen. They won't be subject to you. What are you talking about? Amen. They're not talking. Oh, my Lord, have mercy. They're not saying, oh, king, don't let their armies get reconstructed. Oh, king, don't let their soldiers go off to training. Oh king, don't let them manufacture swords and spears. No. This is what they said. This is what it's going to take for you to lose your influence in their life. If they build the temple and raise the walls, you can kiss their money goodbye. Oh, hallelujah. Now, because we have maintenance from the king's palace, because we know on what side our bread's buttered, it was not meet for us to see the king's dishonor. Therefore, we have sent and certified the king. Amen. This is what you need to do, O king. Amen. Make search in the book of the records of thy fathers, and thou shalt find in the book of the records and know that this city is a rebellious city. Notice, and hurtful unto kings and provinces, and that they have moved sedition within the same old time for which cause was this city destroyed. The enemy's opinion of God's people, they're rebellious. They don't go along with our plans. They don't just succumb to our suggestions. They push back. They take issue with our opinion of how things ought to be. They don't worship our gods. They don't do the things that we do. They don't live the way that we live. The people of Jehovah are a rebellious people. I hope to God the world never loses that opinion of Tulsa Lighthouse Church. I'm not talking about the residents, amen, of Tulsa and surrounding area, but I'm talking about the demonic powers of hell that reside in this area. Amen. Tulsa Lighthouse Church is a church that's rebellious against hell. They don't just let hell do what hell wants to do. They don't listen to hell's music. They don't dance to hell's tune. They don't jump when hell snaps. We certify the king that if the city be built again and the walls thereof set up, by this means thou shalt have no portion on this side of the river. You're about to lose your possession, O king. This is not just another building and not just another city. Amen. The petition from these rebellious, carnal, sinful residents, those who had submitted to the rule and reign of the forces of opposition, this was really what they were saying. Don't let the people of God have revival. Whatever you do, King, don't let revival happen. And so later in that same chapter, the king responded with his own letter. And he said, the letter which you send to me hath been plainly read before me. And I commanded and search hath been made. And it is found that the city of old time, everybody say old time, hath made insurrection against kings. Thank God. And that rebellion and sedition have been made therein. Thank God. There have been, oh my Lord, have mercy. He said, we're talking about what used to be. Well, we're looking in the records of history. We're finding out about this city called Jerusalem. There have been mighty kings over Jerusalem, which have ruled over all countries beyond the river. Amen. It wasn't just Jerusalem, but their influence had been magnified. Amen. We've got it narrowed down just to one city now, and just a few of those that we hand selected to leave behind to keep the plows, the fields plowed, and amen, and keep the amen the houses maintained. But they're under our thumb, and we're under control. Amen. We're in charge of Jerusalem, but it hadn't always been that way. There was a time when it wasn't just Jerusalem; it was Israel. And the throne that was in Jerusalem was a mighty throne, and its influence, amen, and its effectiveness was widespread. And toll and tribute and custom was paid to them. They used to have others do to them what we are now doing to them. They're paying us tribute, but others used to pay them tribute. I know how it used to be. Let me stop right. I'm taking some time here. But you understand, oh Lord, your adversary knows everything about your spiritual history. I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable, but I want to mind the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you're in this place today and you're not what you used to be for God, I want you to understand hell knows what you used to be. And the last thing hell wants is for history to repeat itself. If you don't pray like you used to pray, hell don't want you going back to praying that way. If you don't have the consecration you used to have, the passion, the burden, the zeal, the desire, the worship, and the passion for the things of God that you used to have. That's the last thing hell wants to see happen, is that temple rebuilded, and those cities, those walls reconstructed. Let's lift our hands right now. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. In the name of the Lord. We're on our way somewhere, family. The king continues his response. Give now commandment to call these men, cause these men to cease, that this city be not builded until another commandment shall be given from me. Take heed now that you fail not to do this. Why should damage grow to the hurt of the kings? Now when the copy of this letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai the scribe, their companions, this is what they did. They went up in haste to Jerusalem and to the Jews and made them cease by force and power. They took with them their letter and says, the enemy says you've got to stop. The enemy says you can't have any more revival. The enemy says you can't make any more progress. Then ceased the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. Now, I don't know how that makes you feel, but that raises my Holy Ghost hackles, if you please.
Yes, sir. That's right. Come on.
That goes down sideways and gets lodged about right there. I don't like how that feels. I don't like how that sounds. As history began to unfold further, the temple was completed later, basically with the permission of the enemy. They thought, it's okay. I think this is a good idea. It's going to be okay. But you understand that nothing significant of improvement was happening in Jerusalem without the permission of their enemy. This was the world, and this was a scenario into which Nehemiah walked. There was no apparent revival potential in Jerusalem in Nehemiah's generation. Oh, hallelujah. The land was occupied by those accustomed to going along with the enemy. The enemy was accustomed to having their way. If I don't like what's going on, I'll just write the king and the king will shut it down. Amen. And so they're only going to have the revival the enemy wants them to have. They're only going to have the anointing and the experience and the glory that the enemy permits them to experience. Somebody shout in Jesus' name. But Nehemiah's attitude was not in alignment with going along with the enemy. If you were to take those residents, walk them around in the rubble, what do you think about this? Oh man, I remember the good old days. I remember how it used to be. I remember when it was better. But now, it's just rubbish. Now it's just a reminder of the defeat, the oppression, the bondage that we are. Now wonder, I don't know if we'll ever get out of it. But Nehemiah walks around that same city. And he walks in the midst of that same rubbish. And this is what Nehemiah says. I see a revival in this rubbish. I see more than good memories. I see more. I see more than what used to be. I see what is about to be again. Hey, I hear more than prayers. My God, I feel the help of the Holy Ghost on me right now. I hear more than prayers we used to pray. I can hear prayers we're about to pray. I can do more than smell old sacrifices. Amen. I get a scent in the spirit of some sacrifices that we're about to offer. Amen. I can see the haze of incense lifting again. I know the altar is still cold, but there's about to be some members laid upon that grate. What are you saying, Nehemiah? I'm saying I don't care how long it's been the way it is. It's about to change for the better. The enemy's been in charge long enough. You've been intimidated long enough. You've been afraid way too long. It's been way too long since you pushed back. Lord, would you pray with me right now? Say amen. Come on, church family. Push with me in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I can't get away from it. Amen. Stop cowing down to your adversary. Brother Walter, who you preaching to? Amen. You know. Amen. If I'm preaching to you right now. Amen. Stop cowing down to your adversary. There's a revival in this rubbish. Nehemiah was not one of those that had been left behind. But with responsibility in captivity, as a cupbearer to the king, he sent word, inquired of what's going on at Jerusalem. Hananiah, he writes in Nehemiah 1 and 2, one of my brethren came and certain of the men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. What's going on with our people in our city? He's concerned about God's people and the things of God. Remember that. This is what they said, the remnant that are left are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down. The gates are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words, when I heard what was going on with God's people and God's city, I sat down and wept. Notice, and I mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. You can read later on in Nehemiah chapter 1 the words of his prayer. Oh God, remember. Oh God, I'm concerned. Oh God, this is not the way it's supposed. I'm paraphrasing, but this is the heartbeat of Nehemiah's prayer. This is not the way it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to be in bondage. We're not supposed to be paying tribute to the adversary. Man, our temple's not supposed to be torn down. Our gates aren't supposed to be burned with fire. Amen. Even I understand where I am today. And I know I'm not the only one. Amen. That's looking eyeball to eyeball. Amen. The strong spirits of enemy forces. Amen. Powers of hell. Amen. Oppressive. Amen. Strong spirits of opposition. I've not come just to acknowledge our adversary, but I've come to declare in the face of our adversary today, don't count me out. Yeah.
You may think, amen, you've got the upper hand, but there's a revival in this rubbish. There's still some stones that are left. Hallelujah. I don't know how much longer I'll be preaching, but I want to preach with every ounce of passion I can muster right now. All God needs is for somebody to care about what He cares about. That's all God needs to raise up a revival. He just needs somebody to care. Do you care? Do you care about your city? Now hear me. I know where I'm at in the Holy Ghost. I'm just as at home as I can be right now. Because I know my job description today. I know what God sent me to this pulpit to try to help happen. We can criticize the Jews in that generation. But if we're not careful, our spiritual existence will mirror their physical endurance. We'll just go to church, sing our songs, contribute our finances. We'll feel a little bit of God. I know I'm not preaching to everybody, but I'm preaching to a lot of folks here right now. That deep down inside, the last thing you want to do is stir up your adversary. Because you don't feel like you have what it takes to overcome an uprising from your enemy. And so you're just going along to get along. You're not being unfaithful. But you're not really living to your full spiritual potential. Amen. You're glad to have a place to come to church. You're glad to have a school to send your kids to. You're glad you have a job that pays you enough money to keep your bills paid. Amen. Food on your table. Amen. Keep the lights on. Keep the water flowing. Amen. Keep the payments current. Amen. It's just good enough as long as I don't upset my enemy. Everything's okay. I'm telling you, if your enemy's not upset, everything's not okay. Amen, Brother Waterp, are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? Maybe from your perspective I have, but I believe I have the mind of Christ. I believe I'm in the will of God. If I'm not upsetting the adversary, what am I doing? If I'm not making the enemy concerned, what am I doing? Even as I say those things, I feel your spirit. I'm not upset at you. I'm trying to help you. You need to have an ear to hear what the Spirit says and mix the Word of God with faith. There's a better way to live for God than just going through life in existence. Let's pray again. This is a very important moment in this service. Hallelujah. Come on, I need somebody. Amen. To stir up some faith right now. In Jesus' name. Spiritual strongholds in this city needs to bother you. It needs to grieve your spirit when perversion is promoted. Walked into a department store just a few days ago and saw their little entryway whiteboard sales promotion with rainbows all over. I didn't just shrug my shoulders and roll my eyes and say, oh well. I still don't like it when I see billboards with marijuana dispensaries advertised. I haven't gotten used to that. And I hope to God I never do. Amen. I'm not about making banners and finding a street corner and protesting. But I'm about finding a place in the Holy Ghost. I'm all about finding a place in prayer and saying, devil, amen, not only have you gone far enough, you've gone too far. Amen. And I refuse to let you go a step further. This is not your city. How long's it been since your spirit was grieved by perversion? How long's it been since something troubled you when you saw it in your city, on your street? I don't know how many generations have come and gone since the President of the United States, amen, landed his jet in Tulsa, amen, and spoke in Tulsa. But think it not strange, amen, the last two presidents in a little over a year span have come to Tulsa. Oh, that's just coincidence. I beg to differ with you. Hell wants to rub it in. Tulsa's become known as a place of insurrection, rebellion, perversion. You can live like you want to live in Tulsa, and you not only be accepted, you'll be promoted. And liberal presidents will come and pay homage to a perverse spiritual history. I'm telling you, I'm offended today. This is not a political rally, but I believe that the Holy Ghost is grieved. If we're not grieved with perversion on the rampant, loose. Amen. I believe there's a place we can go in God today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and next week and next month and until Jesus comes. I don't believe we just have to say, oh well, it's just the last days. Amen. I know the last days, perilous times shall come. Amen. But I know some will depart from the faith. I understand all that. But also know we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And I know the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but I know that even though there may be a lot of spiritual rubbish laying around Tulsa, I know there may be a lot of spiritual ruin laying around. I know there may have been some great spiritual tragedies in our past. There is a revival in that rubbish. Amen. Brother Kalen said it, but would somebody pray it right now? Lord, give us revival. I'm not demeaning anything that God is blessing us with, but you know as well as I do, amen, we're not having near as much as God wants us to have. Amen. There's more than a foundation. There's more than a good memory. There's more than a song every now and then. There's more than that. Amen. There is a place in God. There is a realm of authority. Amen. There is a dimension in the spirit. Amen. That we can tap step into, amen, that we can become what God has called us to be, and we can experience the reality of God's promises. Amen. Amen. Please, please, please. Amen. Don't be one bit offended. I'm not upset at you. But there's something pulling. Amen. On my soul today. Amen. There's something tugging on my heartstrings. Amen. There's more that we can experience than we ever have before. And if we can have it, why not reach for it? Anytime I recognize, again, I'm not offended at you. I recognize the Spirit. Anytime God has ever put this kind of anointing on me, it's that. Well, are you saying we're not having revival, Brother Walter? No. I'm saying we're not having all the revival we can have. Brother Walter, you saying we're not having good church? No, not at all. I'm saying we can have even better. Let me help you with this. The Bible speaks right in the middle of Hebrews 11. These all died in faith. Answer me this question. Can you die in faith without living in faith? I mean, I would assume that they died in faith because they lived in faith. I mean, he's just got through talking about Enoch and Joseph and Noah and Abraham, Sarah, Moses. These died in faith, not having received the promises. What? But having seen them afar off, and what? When we're persuaded of them and embraced them. I would submit to you that these heroes of faith lived a good life. They lived spiritually successful lives. They lived lives of faith. They experienced victories. They experienced favor. They experienced blessings. But you know what? They died reaching for more. That tells me that it takes more to live in faith than just to say I'm a Christian or I'm an apostolic. Remember, according to the example of Abraham, the father of the faithful, I'll never see all I want to see. Brother Waldrop, will you ever be satisfied? I hope not. When we have a service, amen, we're five, get the Holy Ghost in one service, I'll shout and buck and dance and talk in tongues and smile from ear to ear, amen, but pray for a service we have seven. And when that happens, I'll rejoice and pray for a service where we see ten. Amen, and rejoice and pray for a service we have 20. I'm not unthankful. I'm not ungrateful. I just know of the increase of his government. There is no end. And I know there's rubbish. I know there's past defeats. I know there's strongholds. I know there's opposition. I know there's oppression. It seems like every day I live, the pressure grows stronger. Amen. The weight gets heavier. I don't think it's just me, but I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord together right now. Any of those that labor with Nehemiah, the Bible says they labored by their own dwelling. You can drive around Tulsa. Brother Short told us a few weeks ago, he read where there's now in the Tulsa area 1 million souls. The greater Tulsa area, 1 million. I'm telling you, that can overwhelm you. But you know what? God doesn't expect you to reach 1 million. But you can reach one. You know what? You have an address. And you have a neighbor. You have coworkers. You have restaurants that you frequent. You have cashiers that you see frequently. There's those that you meet that you have an influence in their lives. Brother Walter, there's 1 million going to hell. Yeah, but this one don't have to go. You see, what hell wants you to do is walk around all the spiritual rubbish in our beautiful city. That's right. Amen. Tulsa's beautiful. Ah, beautiful place. Beautiful city. Oh, I know there's a lot of perversion here, but it's the perversion's not beautiful. Oh, but there's beautiful potential here. Brother Waldrop, what about all the evil? What about all the politics? And what about all? Yeah, I know, but what about revival? And what about God's promises? I said, what about God's promises? I said, what about what God has promised? What about an Antioch church? What about His glory? Amen, amen. I'm not trying, amen, to wax overly nostalgic, but in prayer today, God took me back several years ago, standing in this pulpit, and looking back there above the sound booth was a banner that proclaimed 500 soul revival. I'm not haunted by that. I'm encouraged. I'm challenged. Amen. It's not about what hasn't happened. It's about what God said is going to happen. He just needs somebody to care. All he needs somebody to do is to hear. Amen. About a potential revival and go to God about it. Push the plate back. Amen. Find a place in the spirit and say, amen. The Babylonians and the Chaldeans have had Jerusalem long enough. Those of you that live in Kiefer, you can care about Kiefer. Those of you that live in Glenpool can care about Glenpool. I mean, care about it. Those of you that live in Prattville, Berry Hill, out in the countryside, Kellyville. Those of you that live out west and up north can care about your street. Care about Carbondale and Red Fork. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesus. Care about West Highlands. Yes, yes. Yes, sir. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm preaching to not just one minister right now, but I'm preaching, amen, to plural ministers. Several, perhaps, that a seed of revival has been planted in your spirit. You need to find a part of Tulsa and show God you care. You need to find you a neighborhood and show God you care. I was driving. Musicians come driving through Hugo. A few days ago, my wife's aunt passed away, was from that area.
He worked for God in that town for 7 years. You know, memories come and nostalgia happens. Pastor, I take to heart your words. It's better to not vow than to make a vow and not keep it. I'm vowing to God today. I don't know if it was just memory or God. I really can't say, but driving down Main Street, I remembered a day, that one particular day. I don't know how many times I did it, but I was brought back to that day. I drove up and down the streets of that little southeastern Oklahoma city. Wept and cried and prayed. Bled the blood. Claimed revival. Driving down the creek the other day onto 169. Amen. God just reminded me of that. Amen. I'm vowing to God today to get me a route. Get in my car. Brother Waterbury, you're crazy. I'm sorry. I'm not apologizing for being concerned. Because concern is a seedbed for revival. Hell says you can live in the city, just don't be concerned. You can go through the motions. Just don't get concerned. Because if you get concerned, we'll write a letter to the king and he'll shut you down. No. Amen. I see more than memories in these stones. I see revival. Amen. I'm challenging. Amen. Some saints of God at Tulsa Lighthouse Church to find you some streets to drive up and down and turn your tears on. I'm challenging some saints of God at Tulsa Lighthouse Church to find you a neighborhood and a community. Amen. Get you some flyers. Amen. And get your door knocking knuckles out of your pocket. Amen. Before you knock a door, before you hand them a flyer. Amen. Drive up and down those streets and shed you some tears. Amen. Find a place in the spirit and talk in tongues as you drive up and down those streets. I know this is different. Hallelujah. But God is calling our church to a place. Amen. There's churches. Amen. There's congregations in the womb of this congregation. Amen. Come on, preacher. Amen. It's not about a certificate hanging on your wall. It's not about a document signed by an administrator. It's about a prayer life. It's about an anointing. It's about a ministry of effectiveness. Find you a place and show God you care. I said, show God you care. Amen. He'll use to raise up a revival. Would you stand and lift your hands right now? I worship your name, Jesus. Oh God. However you feel like expressing it, but you should express some concern right now to God for our city. There's souls here today that need to be impacted and influenced by the power of God. Come on, would you open your heart?
rest with me in the Holy Ghost right now. Anointing. Thank you for destroying yokes. Thank you for setting captives free. Thank you for, oh God, hallelujah. Thank you for every promise. Thank you, Lord. I claim it. God, oh God, I want to live every day of my life reaching for more. Grateful, yes. Thankful, yes. Appreciative, yes. Satisfied, never. Oh, rejoicing, yes. Oh, fervent in faith, yes. Strong in the Holy Ghost, yes. Satisfied, never. Never. Never satisfied. You know, shaking.